We're going to continue in our Proverbs series, and I'm going to need the kids' help. Penelope might be a little too young. Isla might be a little too young. Rowan, you want to help me? All right, you tell me, which activity do you think, now I'm not asking which one you think is most fun, I'm asking which one do you think is the healthiest choice? The left one? The
unless,
kid?
Unless your mom's right.
Unless your mom's right. That's healthy for the mom. So the left one, we got a kid, you know, running outside, climbing trees. And on the right, we have a kid kind of vegging out on the couch playing video games, right? I know you like video games. But the healthier option, if we look at these things, the better option is probably to go outside and play and explore, right? We need more of that nowadays. Amen. For all of us adults. Yeah? All right. I need Simeon. Which is the better option, do you think? The one on the left, we have like a salad with vegetables and avocado and salmon. Or on the right, a giant, juicy bacon cheeseburger. The cheeseburger, you know, I like beef. But if we're going to go a completely healthier option, we're probably going to go with the one on the left, right? Yeah. All right. Jesse? Yeah. Just because you're right there.
The water is
healthier than Mountain Dew, right? Yes. But the thing is, you guys, and these are really simple, easy choices, right? But life is full of choices, isn't it? What are we going to choose? You know, we have many different options of things we're going to choose. And today, as we open up Proverbs 8 and 9, we're going to be faced with some choices. And the choices are, which voice are we going to listen to? Okay? So, would you open with me to Proverbs 9? I'm not going to read through all of 8 and 9. We're going to kind of jump around a little bit this morning, but I would like you to stand out of reverence of God's holy word, and we're just going to read some of the verses out of Proverbs 9 together. So 1 through 6 and then 13 through 18. And just listen to the different voices here in this passage, okay? So Proverbs 9, 1 to 6 says, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. To him who lacks sense, she says, 'Come, eat my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight.'" Now, if you jump with me to verses 13 through 18, "The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. And to him who lacks sense, she says, 'Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant.' But he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." You may be seated. So have you noticed we have invitations from two different women? And again, Proverbs originally was written from King Solomon to his son. And his son would also be the people of Israel, the people of God that are waiting for the true son of God, the Messiah, to come. And they need God's wisdom in order to know how to live rightly in God's world. And here Solomon is personifying wisdom as a woman. And he's also personifying folly as a woman. And this son needs to choose which woman is he going to follow? Which woman is he going to spend the rest of his life with? Lady Wisdom or Lady Folly? So we're going to spend the rest of the time kind of jumping around, but considering these two women and their invitations. So what kind of women are they? If you want to turn back just to chapter 8, we can kind of get a picture. So this is chapter 8 really gives us a good picture of who Lady Wisdom is. So if you look at verses 6 through 11, it says here, "For I will speak noble things." This is Lady Wisdom personified, God's wisdom personified as a woman speaking. "I will speak noble things. From my lips will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." So again, her words are true and righteous. There's no deception. She's bearing it all openly and freely. And her wisdom is more valuable than treasure. So again, you got to think, the son of the king would probably be inheriting the kingdom and thinking, man, all the kingdom, all the things in it are mine. All the treasure can be mine. And God's wisdom is crying out as this woman saying, hey, choose me. I'm more valuable to you than all the silver and gold in the kingdom. My words are true and righteous. Jump over to chapter 8, verse 22. And notice where Lady Wisdom comes from. It says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the foundations of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man." Again, wisdom's authority is divine. She was with God at creation as he was building this universe, this world that we live in. She was woven into the design of God's world. So ignoring Lady Wisdom isn't just foolish, it's ungodly. Now let's contrast with Lady Folly. Look at 9, verse 13. How is Solomon describing the woman Folly? "She's loud, she is seductive, and knows nothing." Okay, right away, we should be thinking like, okay, Lady Wisdom kind of got all of chapter 8, all this beautiful imagery of her being with God in creation and being woven to the world, and her words are true and righteous. And the Lady Folly, I mean, this kind of just sums it up here in one sentence, right? She's loud, she's seductive, and knows nothing. And it should be one of those moments where young men should be like, oh, I'll choose Lady Wisdom, right? But how often does that happen? All right, so let's also consider Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. They both have a house, okay? So look at 9, verse 1. And when I read this earlier, I'll admit, I don't know how to say that H word. Hone, is that how you say that? H-E, hewn? I don't think I've ever read that aloud before. So I've been practicing this all week trying to get this right, and I said it wrong. All right, so here we go. So Lady Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn her seven pillars. Okay, she's built something. And when you think of a place with pillars, this a building with pillars is usually big and strong, firm foundation kind of thing. Like the pillars are holding it up, right? There's stability, there's order. And she has seven pillars there. And again, all throughout the Bible, seven is typically that number of perfection or completion. She has a complete foundation. It's perfect. Come into her house. And then look at 9:14. The woman, folly, she sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by. Okay, so she has a house too, and she mimics. It doesn't say that she has a house with nice strong pillars and a firm foundation, right? It's almost as if she's mimicking Lady Wisdom, saying, hey, I have a house too. Why don't you come in here? But she doesn't build it. It's not described that she's a master workman or a builder. She just sits there in her doorway and shouts, come on in here. Okay? This is going to keep building. So both ladies, in a sense, speak to the simple. Did you notice that? The same type of person is being spoken to, the simple. Now again, I want to say the simple, it doesn't mean stupid, but it means naive and inexperienced, okay? So you think maybe young children here at the back, simple. They need to learn, they need to grow, they need to mature. And I would say all of us are simple compared to God. We need to receive the Lord's wisdom and knowledge. We're simple. We need to receive it. We need to know how to live. And here, Lady Wisdom in 9:4-6 is speaking to the simple. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Come into my house, my strong house. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Okay? Just like a kid, leave your simple ways. You know, as you continue to grow up, you realize you can't live a life on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Right? Grow up. Continue to learn and live. Leave your simple ways behind, and you will experience more in life than you ever realized was there. Leave your immaturity. Enter into a life of growth and fullness. Lady Wisdom is showing compassion to him who lacks sense. She doesn't have to call, but she's calling to the one who lacks sense. She's showing compassion. She's saying, I see a lack in your life, and I want to meet it. Come into my house, and I will feed you good things. Lady Folly, verse 16 and 17. Notice, it's the same words. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Right? She's sitting in her doorway trying to seduce him inside. Hey, you don't know any better. Come on in here. She's not nourishing, though. She's preying on him. She's just trying to lure him in so that she can prey on him. Turn back to chapter 8, 1 through 3. Both of these ladies or women extend a public call. So 8, 1 through 3. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud. Where is she? She's in public, right? She's on the heights. She's at the crossroads. She's beside the gate. She's at the entrance. She's all the places people will be. She's totally public. Her voice is clear and accessible to all. 9 chapter 3. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Not only is she calling, she's sending out messengers to make sure that people can hear and access God's wisdom. She wants people to know and respond to her invitation. Now look at 9:14 and 15. Lady Folly, again, sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places in town, calling to those who pass by who are going straight on their way. She's not sending out messengers. She's passive in effort, but aggressive in her presence. She might be sitting there, but she's still calling out, trying to lure them in. And notice, verse 15 again. Look at this slowly. She's calling to those who pass by. What's the next line? Who are going straight on their way. Remember a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Proverbs and the path, like walking with God, and just that imagery of walking straight in God's way. Who is Lady Folly trying to lure in? It's those who are already walking on the straight and narrow path. And that should be a warning to us all. You guys, she's trying to entice the people who are doing the right thing. And just a thought for all of us, some of the most dangerous temptations often come when we are trying to walk with God. Have you ever noticed that? I don't think the devil tries to lure us too much when we're already wandering lost, right? He's already got us. But he's going to try to attack and lure and entice God's people who are trying to walk the straight and narrow. And it's something to remember when we hear all these voices around us. Okay, let's keep going. Both women claim to offer pleasure and fulfillment. 9 chapter 2. She has slaughtered her beast, she has mixed her wine, she has set her table. You go down to 5, come eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed, leave your simple ways. Okay, in the ancient world, meat was a luxury. Not everyone could just have meat anytime they wanted. And here, Lady Wisdom is presented as someone who's offering something very valuable. Come into my house, I will feed you well. I am a good host. I've set the table. She's thought through every detail. It's almost like, hey, you get invited to someone's house for Thanksgiving. It's kind of a big deal, right? They make a place for you. There's a spot here for you. There's lots of food. It's all yours. And then 9:17, Lady Folly offers this. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Stolen water. And just water. It's not mixed wine like the other one. And bread, again, I know, you know, Lady Wisdom has bread as well, but here, bread's the only thing offered. Right? You want bread and stolen water, basic food, not valuable. And it's eaten in secret. Again, I think of the difference between, you know, having a Thanksgiving meal or a big family gathering with a meal and all this stuff. It's worth celebrating, and we rejoice, and we're all having a good time, versus me when I go sneak off to the store and get a donut and have to eat it in the garage so I don't have to share it with my kids. Right? But that's the thing, isn't it? Like, that's the kind of stuff, hey, I don't want to get caught with this food. But that imagery, I think, is spot on to how Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly are trying to call us, right? One saying, hey, you can do what you want, you can live how you want, let's just do it in secret. Nobody needs to know. It's a hidden snack of sin, not a feast of joy. And then lastly, each woman will lead to opposite ends. Turn back to chapter 8, 32 to 36 here. She says, and now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. 9, verse 6, leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of my insight. You want to live. Walk in that way of transformation. It leads to life. And again, walk in the way of insight. I think it's not just a moment that we listen to Lady Wisdom and we're good. It's a way of life, a lifestyle. We walk in her way, and we will find favor from the Lord. Contrast this then with 9:18. And it says, but he does not know that the dead are there. This is Lady Folly's house. The dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of Sheol. That was the Hebrews term for, you know, the dead. Her guests don't realize that they're dining in a grave. And her way is the path of sin that leads to death. And Sheol is not just a simple word for grave, it's also separation from God and his joy. And here's the thing, church, folly feels better and seems easier at first, but it costs you everything in the end, right? We look at those pictures of food before, and if I hear burger over salad, I'm there. Like, I like the burger better, right? But what's that gonna lead to if I continue in that lifestyle all the time? It's not gonna be good for my health, okay? So which invitation should we choose? It seems pretty simple. You know, when I throw up the drinks and the foods and things like that, and we think about Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, everything we've read so far, it seems pretty simple. Hey, let's choose Lady Wisdom, right? Easy choice. But I don't think it's quite that simple, because Satan knows what he's doing, and our hearts so often lead us astray. And I just want to say, let's consider this a second, okay? White bread and Diet Mountain Dew. Imagine you're hungry and you want something filling, and you have a slice of white bread, right? Like, this is the 99 cent stuff. Okay? Imagine you're thirsty and you want something to drink, and you have a cup of Mountain Dew. And the bread looks soft and it smells good, but what you don't realize is that it's been bleached to look pure and appealing, right? The bread doesn't actually look like that. Almost all the nutrients have been stripped away. I looked this up this week. In this cheap kind of white bread, 80% of the fiber has been removed and 70% of vitamins and minerals. Okay, but the thing is, it looks awesome, doesn't it? It's nice and pure and white. Your glycemic index is in this bread is higher than table sugar. It spikes your blood sugar, leaving you hungrier than before. Okay? So you feel full for a moment. You might eat a few slices of this bread. You feel full for a moment, but your body is still starving for what it really needs. Right? Likewise, Diet Mountain Dew. You hear the word diet? This is a good choice, right? It feels like a smart choice, but it has zero calories, zero sugar, similar taste. But what you don't realize is it's full of artificial sweeteners, and they mess with your metabolism. Your cravings for sugar increase by 50%. Your gut health declines, it increases inflammation, and the risk of type 2 diabetes goes skyrocketing. Okay? So your body gets addicted to these fake versions of sweetness, which are slowly harming you. But I think that's how Lady Folly works. Okay? It's easy for us to go through this information and say, poor choices, right? But Lady Folly markets herself like white bread or diet soda. Hey, I look wise. Choose me. I feel like a better option. I know you really want soda. I'm diet. Choose me. Right? It sounds logical. There's no obvious cost up front to Lady, listening to Lady Folly. But her sweetness is artificially constructed, and it seems like freedom, but it actually enslaves you. Humanity has always craved what looks good but leads to death. Think about the garden, right? Adam and Eve hanging around the tree that they probably shouldn't have been hanging around. And how does that fruit look to Eve? Looks good. It's giving her the desire to be wise. But true wisdom would have said, no, I'm going to listen to what God said, and I'm going to go over to the tree of life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But humanity's always craving for something that looks good. Romans 1, 21 to 23. Talking about mankind here. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. They traded God for God's things. And that's foolish. So we think, as mankind, that we're getting freedom, but we end up with emptiness and spiritual sickness. And Paul makes this very clear as he continues in Romans. Romans 3:23, popular verse. Many of you guys know it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's everyone except you, right? And me. No, all have sinned. All of us are fools because we've traded God for God's things. It's not just foolish people out there. It's you and me. So what's the outcome? If we continue in Romans, for the wages of sin is death. If we continue on that path, we are going to die forever. Eternal death, separation from God. But the verse doesn't end there, right? Thank God for that. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's another option. We don't have to be left as fools. We can choose the path that gives us what we've earned, which is death. Or we can choose the path of grace, the one that we didn't deserve. We can choose repentance and grace each day. That's what it means to walk in that insight. I choose to repent of my sin. Lord, I screwed up. I sinned against you. I surrender it to you. And I turn to his grace and I receive his love and his mercy and his forgiveness. And we keep going. We can choose to surrender to the Holy Spirit for our strength. You know, admitting that left to ourselves we're fools, that's a wise thing to do. Right? Left to myself, I would choose sin. And the wise thing to do is say, Lord, I surrender all I am, all I have to you. That's wise. And it's just amazing that that's accessible to everyone. It doesn't matter what your background is, your ethnicity, your age. You can surrender to the Lord and be wise. Hebrews 11. I'll end here. I just love this verse and these verses, and it popped up this week. I just thought, you know, this is something we should really consider this week, okay? Hebrews 11, it's called the faith chapter. It's going through a lot of the people all throughout the Old Testament and just highlighting their faith in God. And when he gets to Moses, he says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. If you don't remember, Moses was a Hebrew, and there was a command by Pharaoh to kill all of the Hebrew boys, throw them in the Nile River. Okay? Moses' mom put them in a basket. He floated down. You know, she's praying for salvation. He floats down right to Pharaoh's daughter. She takes him in and raises him up in Pharaoh's house. Okay? That's providence. And Moses could have chosen to be prince of Egypt the rest of his life. He could have had everything that Egypt offered. And if you think back in the history of the world, at that time, this superpower, they had everything. And Moses could have had it all. And yet he chose to suffer and be mistreated with the people of God, with his own people, instead of being prince of Egypt. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. He didn't even know who Jesus was. But he put faith in God's promise of a Messiah. And if you follow and live for him, God will bless you and save you. And Moses chose that, even though he couldn't see it. And you think of our day today, okay? There's a lot of things we still can't see. We still need to live in faith. And we have voices speaking to us all the time. Who are you going to listen to? Lady Folly or Lady Wisdom? Whose table will you sit at? Lady Folly's or Lady Wisdom? Whose reward are we living for? Lady Folly's, which you can have right now. Take this deal. Or Lady Wisdom, I gotta wait for that. But it's worth it. and I'm willing to leave all of this worldly treasure behind, all my worldly desires behind, so that I can pursue Lady Wisdom's blessings. Because in the end, that lasts forever. Jesus is wisdom truly personified in the flesh. And he's calling all of us to come follow him. To leave our simple ways behind, take up our cross and follow him. And he's not offering an illusion, he's offering us true life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are true wisdom. Father God, I just think about Lady Wisdom sending out her messengers. Lord, you sent out your messengers all throughout the Old Testament, your prophets, and then you finally sent your son that people would listen, that they would see his love and his message displayed on a cross. It's public. It's calling out, come, follow this one. And Lord, I pray for every person here that we would put faith in that message, that we would follow it with all our heart, that we would surrender all we have to you, that we would listen to your voice and find life. Lord, give us new desires through your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.